Welcome to the Giants Draft Show, presented by Crestron. I am John Schmelt, joined by the center, in the center of our setup. Didn't do that on purpose, but it works. He's Sean O'Hara, Paul Dottino playing left guard over there. That means I'm your right guard.
I like it. Richie, Chris, I got Snee and Sorber right here.
I am probably going to say more words during the show than I heard Chris Snee say to me in the 8 years he was here. So.
Schmelkin dots. I like it. I like my guards right now. I feel very protected.
Yes, absolutely. So the Giants have selected, with their second round pick at number 47 overall, safety Tyler Newbin out of Minnesota. A lot of college experience. He was at Minnesota for 5 years, started over that time, count them folks, 43 games for Minnesota over that time. In his career there, 13 interceptions, including 5 last year, 24 passes defended, a very, very smart player, Sean, and most importantly, we'll get Paul's breakdown of the player as well. But Sean, this fills a need with Xavier McKinney leaving in free agency this offseason. They brought in Jalen Mills, a veteran safety, but they needed somebody that was smart and trustworthy that could be that split safety in defensive coordinator Shane Bowen's system, and Tyler Newbin checks all those boxes.
Yeah, absolutely. The void by Xavier McKinney, you know, not just the player, but the versatility that he had. I think that's something that they were really drawn to with Tyler Newbin. Look, he went to Minnesota as a corner and kind of morphed into a safety, but you mentioned the ability for different coverages, dual safety, single high. He did it all. And how about, like, the fact that we got another gopher? So he teams up with John Michael Schmitz again.
That's right.
You got a teammate, so we got
one guy
center
in the center
on the O-line.
Defense and the center of the offense.
The center of the defense. The gophers right now are strong right now for the Giants. I think with Newbin, you know, when you look at, obviously, Shane Bowen, the new defensive coordinator, it's going to be a different scheme. It's going to be – I don't think it's going to be as much safety involved from a blitzing standpoint like we had last couple of years with Wink Martindale. So that scheme is going to fit Newbin a lot better. But I like a safety that used to play corner, because a lot like I played center, but I played left tackle. I also played guard. That helped me be a better center because I knew – what do guards struggle with? What are the tough blocks? Who needs help on what play? So as a safety, you understand in coverages and based on what team you're playing, what receivers you're going against, who needs the help and how do I help my corners the best? So I think that's another feather in his cap. Just kind of looking at some of his stats too, no penalties. Like the one thing that you look at with guys in college is as a corner, as a safety, do they struggle when they are in coverage? And a lot of times guys – just, you know, it's such a bad habit to break. It's so tough to break that habit. But if you're a grabby guy, you're a handsy guy, and you have a lot of penalties in college, that's probably going to be the case in the NFL as well. So there's one little kudos to Newbin. Not a lot of penalties for him in his college career.
Paul, what did you see from him when you watched him on tape?
Very smart player, really good with his reads, his ball skills. You mentioned he started out as a corner, which is where the ball skills come from. Very good rapper in terms of tackling. You're not going to get away from him too much.
I thought you meant Christmas presents, Paul, no?
Well, he's a present for the Giants.
I thought he was talking about like a rapper. Like,
oh, okay. See, you could have been the other one.
When I hit the
You're
guy, I take him to the ground, a rapper.
There you go.
I wrote that down. You know,
average etiquette, Paul.
Okay. I like it. You kind of had a little flow there. I think you should only talk in rap lyrics now.
Obviously, you know, not the fastest of guys, fleet of foot, but he makes up for it in intelligence. Now, I talked to him at the Combine, and here's some of the things I wrote. First of all, he was rehabbing at the Combine after meniscus surgery. So that may be one of the reasons why, you know, he got to where he was, because there was a rehab involved, but seemed like he was going to be cleared for camp. He said that Antoine Winfield, the former Michigan Gopher, it was a great standout there and is the standard by which all Gophers defensive backs want to play. It's all about intensity and passion. He said, you let the play come to me, and if I do my job, then I don't have to worry about closing to the ball because I'm going to be where it's supposed to be. He talked about his intelligence. He says, I want to get into the offensive coordinator's mind. He said, you can't take a play off. And if you're not playing physical, then you're not playing at all.
You're watching the Giants Draft Show presented by Crestron. The Giants select Tyler Newbin with the 47th pick in the seventh round. In the second round, pardon me, the 47th pick. We are going to be live after the Giants' third round pick as well, though the way it's going, we might just end up staying on. We've had already three picks off the board since the Giants picked Tyler Newbin. Mason Smith to the Jaguars, Chris Jenkins to the Bengals, and now the Commanders pick is already in at pick number 50. Giants' next pick comes your way at pick number 70. Paul, and I watched the tape of Newbin. They played a lot of single high at Minnesota. Again, I'm not sure you wanted him to do that in the pros. He only ran that 4.59 in his pro day. Maybe some of that had to do with the fact that he was coming off that knee surgery.
Yeah.
But Giants, if Shane Bowen does what he did in Tennessee, is going to play a lot of split safety, where you need guys to be able to play the run. He can do that. Play the pass. He can do that. And the one thing I wrote down is that really great instincts. He reads the quarterback. He anticipates routes really well, which is what you want out of that high safety. One of the reasons he's able to get those 13 career interceptions, including 12 over the last 3 years. So I think he's a really smart player. You want that quarterback at the secondary. I think he's going to fit that bill very, very, very well. And you want that smart player. He's a little older. He's going to be 23 years old this year when it starts. Just for comparison, Malik Nabers, a Giants first-round pick, hasn't even turned 21 yet. So there's about 2 years difference between those two players, which is fine. You want to plug him in. You want to play him right away. And he's a very, very good player. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Sean might have to pop out at some point. Don't be afraid. Everything's okay. He's going to try to talk to Tyler Newbin. That interview is going to go up on the Giants website, Giants app, and all that stuff. And by the way, there is a chance right now that on Giants.com, the video player is not working. So it is streaming, though, on the Giants app, Giants YouTube, and the Giants TV app. So if you're having any issues, make sure you go tune into one of those other devices so you can check out the show that way. Any other points on Newbin, guys, before we get to the calls, or we're good?
I'll just piggyback real quick on what Paul was saying, and kind of you touched on it too. Like, you know, we're talking about Xavier McKinney and filling that void. Xavier McKinney was a very talented and athletic safety, but I get the feeling that Newbin is much more of a physical presence. And as we look at this Giants defense, they are taking on a different identity. Anytime you bring in a new defensive coordinator, the scheme is a little different, but the mindset is different as well. And just from talking to Shane Bowen, you know, violence is kind of his thing. Like, he wants a very aggressive defense. And
on the football field, to be clear.
Yes, that's what we're talking about.
Like, yeah.
Like, look, like,
he told you that in the Cadillac, didn't he?
He did. We did a drive along. And yes, people kind of got, we were like, whoa, violent. Guys, football is a violent game.
Yes, of course.
It's a collision sport. Like, soccer is a contact sport. Football is a collision sport. So you need violence. It's controlled violence. But I think when you have a guy like Newbin, he's a physical dude at 205 pounds. Like, I think he's one of those safeties that is going to want to come downhill. But you mentioned it, like, let the plays come to you. The one thing that you never want to have as a defensive coordinator is a safety that's just, you know, that's trigger happy. Like, hey, man, I'm jumping at it. I'm going to jump on the double move. And a guy that's just, you know, getting his nose in and peeking into the backfield a little too much. So I think that's a good quality to have as a safety. If you're a little bit more reserved, hey, let everything play out in front of you and not feel like, man, I've got to dash down there and all of a sudden open up the middle of the field.
And by the way, Mike Sansor still, well, corner that I really like, just went to the Commanders. So. Mm-hmm. That for me at least not
that was our conversation. We were talking
like the Commanders. Yeah.
Are we going to go corner? Are we going to go safety? I mean, there's a need there for both spots, but the first safety, like we were kind of talking about in the cafeteria, John, when you're doing a fantasy draft, a snake draft with your friends, and all of a sudden there's a run on a position,
right,
you kind of turn right or turn left and go to another position. So the Giants did that. The first safety in the draft taken off. Daniel Jeremiah actually had a lot of praise for him. Said he was his number one safety in this draft. So kudos to the Giants for that. I'm sure they'll circle back for their corner soon.
18 picks, by the way, in the second round so far. 6 defensive tackles, 6 corners / safeties, and then throw on top of that 3 wide receivers. So after we saw a very offensive-heavy, a historically offensive-heavy day one, a lot more defensive players
14?
Going off the board here in day two. Only 9 defensive players in round 1.
Was it 14 straight offensive picks?
Yes, to start the draft. That is correct. It's
wild,
unbelievable.
Man.
All right, let's get to the phones. 201-939-4513. PJ in Virginia, you're going to lead us off today, PJ. What's up?
Hey, guys. So I got one gripe and one question.
Yes.
So real quick, my gripe. I don't understand, what is it with divisional foes trading with their divisional rivals? Why would Washington want to help Philly? I don't get
it. Now, see, PJ, here's the thing. Washington thinks they're helping themselves. They're not doing the trade to help Philly. They're doing the trade to help themselves. The same way Dallas and Philadelphia felt like they were helping themselves when they did the Devontae Smith trade a couple of years ago, which, by the way, I think Philly's pretty happy with Devontae Smith and the Cowboys are pretty happy with Michael Parsons in that situation, right? So
to me,
if it's a good trade for you, the way I approach it, I don't care who I'm trading with because I feel like the trade's going to help me. But that's just me. I know other people disagree with that philosophy.
And they got that pick from Chicago in the Montez Sweat trade. So generally it wasn't theirs to begin with. I don't know. Maybe that helps a little bit. Was that the gripe or was that the question?
And by the way, they just used one of those picks, PJ, to draft Mike Sansterstow, who's a really good player. So
That was my other question. Yeah, so I understand Newbin. Yeah, I understand we needed a safety, so I get it. But Newbin, as far as I know, is kind of a little bit slower from what I know. Like his 40 is like 4.59, something like that.
Yeah, he ran a 4.59 in his pro day. But again, he was recovering off of a knee injury, so I'm not sure if that. But look, he isn't a burner, but I think he might be a little faster than the 4.59.
Yeah, I'm just wondering why not go cornerback? Why not Sanchez still? Like, why is he not an outside cornerback?
No, that's the problem. He's slot only. Yeah. And so many corners got picked already. Max Melton got taken, the cornerback out of Rutgers. You had Kamari Lassiter got taken. So you're looking at Sanchez still. And it's Rakestraw, who has some injury issues, Renardo Green, Andrew Phillips. I didn't have a standout corner. I had Newbin along with Hicks and Bullard as my second-round safety, so I think they just probably had a higher grade on the board with Newbin than they did with any of their corners, and that's why they went safety.
Yeah, that run on corner is probably what moved them off of that.
It's entirely possible, too, that the new defensive coordinator may want to go with a lot of three safety looks, and he feels he needs another guy to enhance the depth chart at safety.
Well, and I think when you play a lot of split safeties in that kind of zone defense, I think safety becomes a more important position and corner becomes less important, unlike the wing system, Sean, when you're playing so much man-to-man outside.
Yep.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And to your point, look, we don't know yet what they're going to do with Newbin and how they're going to use him. Maybe they move him around a little bit. Maybe in nickel he plays some other positions. I know he's got some versatility too.
Steelers select center Zach Frazier out of West Virginia.
You
so
mentioned him before.
Yeah, we like that guy. Yeah,
I'll tell you what, the Steelers just walked away from this draft with Troy Faletanu and Zach Frazier.
Yeah, Frazier is, he's putting guys in a body bag. He's a state championship wrestler. We're watching some wrestling video right now. That dude's a mauler.
And they just got two very good offensive linemen. They're going to try to
And they got Broderick Jones last year. So they're loading up. Russell Wilson might not have to throw.
No, Najee Harris is going to get a lot of carries, and Jalen Warren as well, so make sure you keep an eye on that. All right, back to the phones, 201-939-4513. Let's go to Joe in Pennsylvania next time, line three. Joe, what's going on?
First, I want to say I'm very happy with that first pick of ours. He looks great. Did he ever have any injuries? I know how Beckham, he got me all the time with the hamstrings and that.
He had a shoulder as a freshman, according to some of the notes I've read. But other than that, he's been clean, and he made it very clear that he's a guy that's going to play through injuries if he has a couple minor bumps and bruises.
Yeah, this past September he had a left shoulder injury, but he's over that. The Giants medical staff went through thoroughly, cleared him, and I know that they were very okay with it.
Yeah, and this safety we got, he looks like what I'm hearing. He's a ball hawk. He had quite a few interceptions, the way I understand. He just has a nose for the ball, too,
Yeah, 13 in his career in college.
Yeah, so he's around there. And like the previous caller says, Washington always lets the Eagles come up there. There's a number of times right before the Giants that they always let that happen. I can recall going back to Jason Pierre-Paul. I think that happened. But we got Jason Pierre-Paul, and they took Brandon Graham, I believe, there. But Washington does it all the time, so whatever.
All right, Joe.
Go Giants. Hey, Indiana just beat Milwaukee, so there you go again.
Indiana goes up 2-1 in the first round of the
Pacers.
NBA playoffs. How about that? Well, remember, no Giannis, which makes a difference there. James in Georgia, you're up next. Hey, James.
Hey, what's going on? Happy draft day continuation.
Absolutely. What do you got?
Nothing much. Like I said, Sean, I like the pick. There was a run on cornerback, so I was you know, I was texting or telling my brother earlier that we're going to have our pick of either the top running back or top safety in the draft and or in the round, and I'm glad we went safety. Joe Sane's absolutely killing the, with that thinking, you know what I mean? Rather than take the fifth or sixth edge rusher or cornerback, or, you know what I mean? You take the best, you know, safety in the draft. It's just positional need still. I'm not going to go long. I know third is coming up soon. A couple guys that were on my list that just kind of went off. Do you think Marshawn Nealand will still be there in the third?
No.
If he hasn't just went.
I do not think he will be there in the third.
I got a couple of names. If you'll touch on them, probably when, you know, you stop taking calls or whatever. But I got Kamara, Muhammad Kamara, Jatavion Sanders, Pooney, Kamari Lassiter, and Drain.
Lassiter's long gone already.
Yeah.
Oh, Kamara. Yeah, never mind. And Tanner McLaughlin. I think that's how you pronounce the name.
The tight end.
The tight end you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, the tight end. He'll be around.
I think he's more of a day three guy myself, but
yeah, he'll be around for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
And to be honest, the guy I was seeing in that range on big forward.
You know what I mean? That's why I asked about that.
You mentioned running back just a moment ago earlier before you rattled off a bunch of names.
Thanks, James.
It was our impression from the combine that the running backs will go in a cluster. There's going to be a run of those, just like there was just a run on corners, but they wouldn't probably start until the third round. So there's really, you know, we know that Brooks was just taken a few picks ago, John.
Yep.
You know, and that's the only running back so far.
By the Panthers, the Giants will see him this year.
Yeah, the only one that's gone of all the running backs. So that cluster, I'm thinking still at some point in the third, they'll start to smoke.
Colts select A.D. Mitchell. Good value for them, middle of the second round to go. That's a heck of a group of weapons there, man. Michael Pittman Jr., Josh Downs, Adonai Mitchell, Jonathan Taylor for Anthony Richardson, who's basically going to be a rookie this year. That is a nice set of weapons.
Yeah, yeah. And if Jonathan Taylor could stay healthy, I mean, that's a huge, huge guy to carry the weight for him. So, you know, everything for Richardson looks good health-wise. You know, like him coming back from that shoulder injury, he should be fine.
Washington Commanders on the board now, by the way. This is the second pick they got from the Eagles in that swap, so we'll see where they go.
Yeah, and the Colts got Latu, the edge rusher defensively, so I know you're talking about the offense, but...
No, I mean, look, the Colts do a good job adding talent. We do have a couple open lines, folks. Just FYI, so if you want to get in, you can. 201-939-4513. Wilson and Roxbury's up next. Hi, Wilson.
Hey, guys. How are you? Hey, listen, this was the right pick. Now I can look forward to the season. You know how I felt about us trusting a quarterback. And, you know, all this talk that the Giants try to move up for number three. Listen, if they really wanted this guy, if they really wanted it, one more first-round pick wouldn't have made the difference. You know what I mean? So I think that's a lot of smoke, and you can take that with a grain of salt. If they wanted a quarterback, must-have quarterback, they would have gotten it. So obviously it wasn't worth it or it wasn't good enough or whatever it was, but it is what it is. And we got the guy that I think is going to help the team. And because I think we have a quarterback, you know how I feel about Daniel. But if Daniel is listening, I want to tell him something. You know, can't give any more of these fans. I want you to run you out of town, run you out of town anymore fuel. So I don't know, man. If he's got to read film differently, whatever, just this is your last mulligan, I think. So we have to make it work. So now it's let's look forward to the season. And. And that's it. You know, whatever. Now I can look forward to the season because I was a little. You know how it was. Johnny, you know how it was.
I know. I know.
Wilson, we're so glad for you. You know, we really are. Yeah, welcome back.
Yeah, let me ask. Okay, so let me ask you something. Now that the pick was this the right pick? Was this the right pick?
You mean Neighbors or Newman? Who do you mean specifically, Neighbors or Newman?
No, in the first round.
Okay, Neighbors.
If you were going to pick a guy, was this your guy?
Of the guys that were available, and Wilson, appreciate the call, man. Good stuff.
He was
my guy. To me, he was the next highest guy on my board. On my board, Malik Neighbors was my fourth best player. So, got him at six. Job well done. Sean, what do you think?
Yeah, I like Neighbors. I think he brings something to the table. Like those three receivers, Marvin Harrison Jr., Neighbors, and Odunze, you know, they were kind of like in it was like a three-headed race, really, those three guys. But Neighbors does things those other two guys can't. He's got unbelievable acceleration. His explosive ability is, I mean, it's far superior than those other two guys. Now, Marvin Harrison, I mean, obviously he was the gold standard in this draft for receivers, but he can't do some of the things that Neighbors can do. So I like Neighbors. I like his ability, too. They used him a ton on, like, jet sweeps. Like, you're going to see him in all kinds of different roles. Like, we can't get him the ball enough. And he's one of those guys that once he touches the ball, now that's when all of a sudden the magic starts to happen. He can make guys miss. He can run guys over. He's feisty. He's scrappy. The Giants needed somebody like that. They needed somebody offensively that could be a spark plug, that could light the fire, get everybody fired up, get everybody jazzed up, get the fans going. So I like Neighbors from that capacity.
Sean, I believe Pearson's come to retrieve you to talk to Mr. Newbin.
All right, let's go.
You want to leave him waiting, so go enjoy. Find out about his interceptions, find out about him reading quarterbacks and all that, and what kind of defense he's comfortable in. Come back and report to us your findings.
I will. I'm going to ask him about Antoine Winfield.
Perfect.
There you go.
Like it? See, we just gave Sean a lot of material to talk to Tyron Newbin about. So, Paul, Sean's going to step out here.
Yeah.
He's taking all his stuff. He'll be back as we wrap this show up. And okay, these picks are going fast and furious. We'll kind of see how
really
far we go. So why don't we close ranks here a little bit, Paul?
All right.
We'll kind of leave this here. And we'll start taking calls again at 201-939-4513. Let's go Cliff in New York. He's up next. Hi, Cliff.
Hey, guys. With the Newbin pick, the first thing I thought of was, you know, the last couple of years, I've heard a lot about the versatility of our existing defensive backs, you know, under Coach Henderson, and him being very highly regarded as a coach. And these guys are like, I hear several of our DBs are mentioned as both corner and safety. So I'm wondering, now that we have Newbin, does that mean that some of those guys are now more considered corners, and does that maybe strengthen the corner position as it is? You know what I mean?
Which guys are you talking about specifically that you would consider
hybrids? Well, I don't remember which ones were which, tell you the truth, because it seemed like it happened a lot that they would say that so-and-so is also considered a safety, or this guy is our third safety, but he can also play corner, he's versatile. So I don't know which ones to tell you, but I just know I've heard that a lot. So I was hoping that the existing group may have some corners that can, you know, they can be more identified as corners now and help us. I just thought I'd throw it out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only hybrid guy for me, Paul, I guess would be McLeod, right? Would he be the hybrid guy that could play safety and corner? I don't know who else I would put in that.
Well, the Green
category.
Goblin, too, who they just picked up from
right,
the Patriots.
Right, Jalen Mills, yeah. I mean, I think at his age, you know, I think he's a safety.
I think he's a safety, too.
He basically, when I interviewed him when he got here, he said, I'm a safety.
Did he?
So, yeah, he basically said, I'm a safety.
I feel that, too.
Unless I'm forgetting somebody.
Yeah, I don't know where else you're going with that.
And Cliff, Newbin's a safety, so he's not going to play corner. So,
no, I don't want him to. No, I'm just hoping that gave us more of a hello.
Yeah, we're with you.
Yeah, I just wondered if that freed up some guys to focus more on being corner.
The one thing I
nice
will
Cliff,
say,
appreciate it.
I'm not going to go to that particular theory, but I will say this: when you look at the Giants' safeties right now, and even the corners to some degree, very intelligent secondary, John. Very intelligent secondary. You know, they may not be the best athletes on the field. Okay, we know Belton is not going to set any Olympic records or crush it at the combine, but he makes plays when he's on the field because he's instinctive, he's aware, he's smart, he stays away from those mental mistakes that a lot of guys will make. And that's what we're talking about with Newbin coming out of Minnesota. He's that kind of player. And so, you know, to be frank with you, I think intelligence is one of the things that the Giants secondary is trying to be known for. Because, you know, if you know what to do and you're in the right spot to make plays, chances are you can raise the bar a little bit.
All right, 201-939-4513. You're watching the Giants Draft Show presented by Crestron. I am John Schmelk. He is Paul Dottino. Just a reminder, folks, to tune into all of our other podcasts. Big Blue Kickoff Live is our live show every day at 12:30 on Giants.com, the Giants mobile app. We take fan calls just like we are right now. And then, of course, you have draft season. We have our round one recap up. Me and Tony Pauline break that down. Everything that happened in round one. We'll have a full draft recap when the draft is over as well. Then you have the Giants Huddle podcast, which you'll find this show on that feed when it gets posted later on tonight. We're going to be live after the Giants' third-round pick as well. We'll see if we're going to stop or we're going to just keep going. Picks are going pretty fast, so I'm going to have to do some quick timing here to see what we end up doing. But either way, we'll be on after the Giants' third-round pick. We might take a little pause in the middle due to NFL rules. We'll only be on a certain amount of time. So we will make that call as we go along. But make sure you check out all the other Giant podcasts on the Giants mobile app, giants.com/podcast, or just search for Big Blue Kickoff Live, Giants Huddle, or Draft Season on your favorite podcast platform. If you're on Apple Podcasts, leave that 5-star positive review. It will really help us out. So the Washington Commanders with the 53rd overall pick. This was the other pick they got from the Eagles in that trade down. They select my second favorite tight end in the draft, Ben Sinnott. He's kind of an H-back type move guy. He reminds me of Kyle Juszczyk a little bit, to be quite honest with you, in terms of the way you can use him. So he goes to Washington. I'm not particularly happy about that because he's a good player. And then the Browns just took Michael Hall, yet another defensive tackle. This is a very athletic three technique out of Ohio State. He stays home in the state of Ohio and goes to the Cleveland Browns. All right, let's go to Taylor in Georgia. He's up next. Hi, Taylor.
Hey, great afternoon to y'all. Really quick, I love the pick, obviously. Do you guys really see him because of the film breakdown more as a free safety, strong safety? Personally, for me, I love Pinnock on the field at all times. I honestly like Bellin coming off the bench kind of as that third safety. And then after that, second quick question, and I'll take it off the air. What do you kind of see us as a need in positional value at three? Right now, I'm kind of hoping the guard from UConn is there. I doubt it. From there, possibly running back. Other than that, I'll take it off air. I appreciate it.
No, appreciate it, Taylor. Good call. Cornerback, 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 cornerback.
You just passed on a bunch of corners maybe, in this round.
Maybe defensive tackle. Then I would get into the running back territory for me.
Yeah, I mean,
corner is the biggest need to me right now, and it's a glaring one, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, they went with the safety, and again, maybe that's what the scheme is going to call for. They needed some more depth at that spot.
Well, they just might have thought he was that much better
of a player. They did. Maybe they did. Hey, look, we knew at the combine that there were folks who told us they thought Newbin could be the best safety. Bullard got some votes, too.
I mean, Daniel Jeremiah had him number one on a safety.
Exactly. Board. So, I mean, this is not a reach here. But in terms of perceived need, corners seem to be more thin, okay? In terms of the running back situation, John and I have both discussed this. I think that the Giants need a power back to fill in that other spot in this running back by committee. I would want a big guy. Audric Estime is my guy from Notre Dame. Can you get him in the third? I hope so. I was hoping to get him in the fourth, but, you know, we'll see.
I would not use a pick on a running back in round three. I think you have bigger needs elsewhere. You know, you already have a starter in the building, so I think that's a day three pick, in my opinion. That's why I would attack that.
All right, you know.
And I like Estime. You think he's my fourth running back. I think he's a really good player.
I really like him.
I think if they draft him, I'd be very happy with it. But I just with all the other needs, I would save that till round four.
You know, the problem really comes down to here, you know, the tight end spot is another issue because, again, we still don't know what's going on with Darren Waller. He says he's working out. He told some reporters today at a public appearance for a charity that he is indeed doing all of his workouts as if he's going to come back, but hasn't made a decision yet. Well, you guys know how much I love Sinnott. And unfortunately, he's already gone, so that's the end of that. But Stover's not a bad tight end if you want to keep looking in that spot in the next round.
Patrick Paul goes to the Miami Dolphins, the offensive tackle out of Houston. Very tall, very rangy, has some things to clean up a little bit in terms of fundamentals, but good player. Cowboys on the clock here. We'll keep an eye on that. But for now, let's go back to the calls. Jason in New Haven's up next. Hey, Jason.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's going on?
Good. Thanks for taking my call. I love the draft so far. I know you guys have talked in the past, and I've been a big proponent of, especially when it came to the three receivers, the top three receivers in the draft. Part of it is, like, what does Daboll and Kafka want
yeah.
for a receiver. And I never really thought Rome was the guy, even though he was a clean prospect. And I don't think we was ever going to get Harrison. I think if he was there, I mean, that would have been a no-brainer. But I think Neighbors fits that Daboll Kafka separator.
He does. Know,
kind of that Tyreek, not call him Tyreek Hill, y'all, but kind of that explosive athlete once he gets his ball in his hands that we really haven't had since, Odell left us.
Yeah, so absolutely.
I love the pick. Newbin was a great pick, too. Low-key, I kind of like our safety group. We're young, but one thing I've talked about with Belton, he's always around the ball, and this kid Newbin seems to always be around the ball. I like Pinnock. He's not a top five safety, but he's an up and coming safety. And I'll take one more question. I got three players that I wanted you guys to see if you could let me know that I'm looking for.
Yeah.
In the next, Paul, I'm with you. I would like a kind of a bigger back. My eyes are on the young man from Wisconsin, Allen.
Yeah.
20 years old.
I know what you mean. He's big.
He's 20 years old. Mm-hmm. Clean. Yep. And I like him. Another guy I want to talk about is the defensive tackle from Oregon, Dorless. To me, he's mm-hmm. your prototypical three technique, which
he
I
is.
Think with Andre Patterson and Dex next to him would be great. And then one more thing, John.
Yeah.
The game yesterday, please explain to me why Embiid was not thrown out of that game, and I'll take it off the air, fellas. Thank you.
Jason, I appreciate it. And by the way, I think both those players are good fits for the type of players you're looking for. If you want a big back, Breland Allen fits. I'm not as high on him as other people are. I've been told I need to go back and watch his tape from 2 years ago and 3 years ago before Wisconsin changed their offensive system. I haven't done that. I didn't love him in their spread offense this year. I just didn't think it fit his skill set. So Paul's higher on him than I am, but he likes Estime as a better player. Dorless, you're right, is that three technique. He can also play a power end if you need to on running down. So I have a third-round grade on him. If he's there in the third round, I don't know if he's going to get there given all the defensive tackles going off the board. He would be a good pick. And, Joel Embiid should have been ejected from that game. Paul and I agree on that whole
Yeah, for sure.
And, by the way, I should bring it back. We forgot to answer Taylor's first question about Newbin, strong safety or free safety.
Oh, he's a strong for me. Well, it's part of a three safety package, though.
I think he's really good at reading quarterbacks in the secondary, though, and playing the ball.
I'm a little bit afraid of the speed.
Well, then, but the problem is that if you're playing near the line of scrimmage, you're just going to have to cover slots.
Yeah, I know.
I much prefer him.
Remember,
it's a split safety system. So you put him as a split safety deep playing zone defense, I think that's the spot for him. And in this system, you want your safeties a bit interchangeable, which is why I think it's important that Newbin can do both. He can cover and he can play the run. So I do think that's pretty important.
I do want to go back to what he said about Dorless. I wrote down 4-3-3-4-3 technique. Tremendous position flexibility for him.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes him very intriguing. 6'3", 285, athletic, motor, pursuit, plays a little high, doesn't always anchor as well as he should, but there's a lot to like there. And again, the position flexibility, we just have not talked enough to this defensive coordinator to know exactly what characteristics he's looking for in all of these different positions.
Well, I know he wants to get upfield and penetrate, so.
Who doesn't?
Right.
But, so it does leave us a little bit hamstrung. But I do like Dorless, and the guest that we had on Big Blue Kickoff Live, who was on the radio crew, I believe, of that school, had really praised him quite a bit. So
this draft is flying until the Cowboys got on the clock. They've taken every single second of their 7 minutes
yeah.
clock here, and their pick is just in. We'll have that for you in just a second. In the meantime, let's go to Brian in North Carolina. Brian, what's up?
Hello, gentlemen. How are you this evening?
Hello, Brian. How are you?
Good. A little bit of hoarse voice, so
that's okay.
My apologies. All right, so on your board, gentlemen, tell me, you got corner, I'm giving it to you, you got corner, defensive tackle, offensive line, in no particular order. What you see, I saw some corners come off. If you can, both of you, give me where you see the next best pick, in your opinion, contextual to what offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator wants to do. Who would you go with? And eat any one of those particular.
All right, I'll give you mine first. Paul, do you want to go position by position? And then
let's go there.
So I'm going to start with corner. My two highest rated corners are Renardo Green out of Florida State and Ennis Rackestraw out of Missouri. And then after that, I have a little bit of a gap. Then I have Andrew Phillips, DJ James, and TJ Tampa.
I like Rakestraw, and I like TJ Tampa, and I do like Phillips. I think all three of those guys, to me, I would be happy to get any one of them.
Then defensive tackle. Oh, Jenkins went too. I did not cross him off.
Yeah, Chris Jenkins went earlier.
I should have.
Yeah.
So defensive tackles got in very shallow very quickly. Mason Smith went as well. So the only second round, and this is a round two, round three hybrid grade, is Mekhi Wingo out of LSU, who I really like as a three technique.
Yes.
I have Brandon Dorris as a third rounder, and then Dwayne Carter out of Duke as a third slash fourth rounder. So defensive tackle has gotten thin very, very quickly, Paul.
I don't have any other three techniques that I'm very happy with. Tyler Davis is a 4-3 defensive tackle out of Clemson, who I really liked his power, his get off at the snap, and his leverage. But I see him as a 4-3 defensive tackle, and that's really not what the Giants are going to do.
Need a three technique. Maybe Gabe Hall is a guy, but to me, I have a fifth round grade on him. I don't know.
I'll go back to Dorless, the caller who just asked us a minute ago. I could absolutely take Dorless if I was forced to be taking a spot there.
And what was the third position you wanted to know about, Brian?
Offensive line.
And you know what? We'll also give you running back, dude, just for the heck of it. Offensive line, Cooper Beebe and Christian Haynes are two guards that I have second round grades on.
Mm-hmm.
So I like him. And then you go to the third round, I got Dominic Pooney, who's kind of a guard tackle hybrid. Isaiah Adams and Mason McCormick are my third round guards. Mm-hmm. And then even I like Mahogany and Zinter after that as well. I think all those guys are guys that could develop into starters.
I'd keep an eye on Rosengarten, Blake Fisher out of Notre Dame.
Those are tackles, though.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, he said offensive line.
Right.
He said offensive line.
That's true. Yes. No, he already said that.
I'm not exactly enthralled with the guards. There was a, there's a sleeper guard. You want a sleeper guard? Don't talk about like in the next couple rounds. Deep.
Yeah.
Layden Robinson, Texas A&M.
Okay.
There's a sleeper guard for you. Deep third day.
I like it.
Sleeper guy.
So based on what you're saying, what I'm hearing, it sounds like the most depth is still at the offensive line. You mentioned a lot of names. Is overall, is that what you're saying, though, based on what's left and what you like? There's more depth overall. I want offensive linemen if we can get another one. So that's where I'm going with that.
Well,
I appreciate the call, man. Yeah, I would say, look, I don't think you draft another tackle. In my opinion here, I would lean more towards the guard spot. And if one of those guys we talked about, I mean, I do think – I don't know. I think I have about the same number of corners and offensive linemen in my next two rounds, so I don't have much difference there between the players. So
you know what the problem is here, and I'm not trying to be funny, but you've already overstocked that room with some medium-priced free agent veterans. You have the two young guys from North Carolina who have been injured, okay, in McKeithen and Joshua Ezeudu. And here's that you got Stine. We talked about this. You got Runyon. You got all these guys. You got Illuminor. I'm really tired, folks. I don't mind telling you that. You got Illuminor who can play inside too. You're not sure exactly what they're going to do with Neal, although we still think he's a tackle. But here's the thing: you're drafting any one of these guys later in this draft. Are any of these guys for sure any better than the vets you've already spent some money on? Or the two young kids who you've devoted time to and they're trying to come off of injury? See, one of the philosophies you have to have, at least it used to be, now it's a little bit different because of the salary cap and stuff, but you would go into the draft and you'd say, listen, when I'm taking this guy in the fourth round, in the fifth round is where it starts to get shady, you would say, hey, I look at that guy, am I sure he's got a legitimate chance to beat out his competition for a spot on my 53? That used to be the litmus test. I'm not so sure if I put that litmus test to some of these deeper offensive linemen, John, that I can say that.
And because the Giants are very deep at that spot.
They got bodies.
They have a lot
of
bodies.
They got functional bodies.
They do.
So I don't, would I mind? I wouldn't mind if they took another offensive lineman somewhere in this draft, but I just don't know if they're head and shoulders as a prospect going to make the 53. Of course, the practice squad does change that a bit now that it's expanded as much as it has.
Yep.
It does change it some, but you still got to get the guy through.
Correct. All right. Two more positions. This is actually a good idea. There's a perfect show call to close the show because we kind of went through our stack and who's left for potential third round pick. So this actually worked well. Only other two positions I want to hit, Paul, are tight end, because I do think that is kind of a dart throw position. Sanat went. Jatavion Sanders from Texas still on the board. More of a receiving tight end. I have Johnny Wilson from Florida State on my tight end stack instead of my wide receiver stack. And if you're looking for a receiving tight end, I think he's a fascinating player in round number
three. Very intriguing.
And then I have a bunch of fourth and fifth round guys. Cade Stover, Jared Wiley is more of a receiving tight end. Tanner McLaughlin, a caller mentioned, Theo Johnson. And then if you want to wait till like round five or six on draft an injury guy that can develop into something, Eric All out of Iowa.
Yeah, I had Johnson, I got Stover, I got Wiley as all guys, you know, later on if I couldn't get Sennett that I would like to look at. So, you know, look, there's still guys here that can help the Giants at some of these thin spots.
Yep.
If that's your bottom line question, the answer is yes.
And then just real quick, running backs, Paul. I mentioned I don't have all my running backs are in the third round. I don't have a second round running back. So Trey Benson, Ray Davis, Audric Estime, Marshawn Lloyd, Blake Corum. I like Will Shipley out of Clemson more than most people. Jalen Wright is the speedster out of Tennessee if you want a fast guy to be a change of pace guy. Those would be the top running backs on my board. So that's a good seven guys that I could easily see be worth third round picks.
Yeah, Estime, Lloyd for me. I wrestled with Carson Steele out of UCLA because he's a big guy.
You didn't like Ray Davis, huh? He's like 215.
I was looking for a guy who's going to be more of a big, power, sturdy back.
Shocking.
See, well, you know what it is? No, I'll be honest with you. I don't believe that Singletary, even though he's the lead guy in the committee, I see him as more of a smaller guy and not a pounder guy.
He's actually pretty good at short yardage.
I know he is.
Historically.
I know he is, but I don't trust it. And I would like to have a big, strong, physical pounder to help the Giants in a four-minute offense, goal line situation, short yardage. I don't want to put that all on Singletary. I really don't.
Fair enough. All right, folks, so those are some of the guys left. The guy with the Cowboys selected, Marshawn Nealon, by the way, the edge player out of Western Kentucky. Good player.
Just now, yeah.
Yeah, really good player. Big guy. He can even slide into the three technique on passing downs. He can set the edge. Powerful edge rusher, really tested well. Not a ton of production, but a guy with a lot of good motor player. He's a guy with a lot of good traits. So,
good player.
Dallas lost a couple of edge players in the offseason. He's kind of their third or fourth guy. So we're going to take a quick break here because we still have about 12 picks before the Giants go at 70, and that's probably going to be at least 40 minutes, maybe 45 minutes, and there's no way we can stay on because I want Dom to be able to go home tonight and not be here till 2 a.m. trying to post a 2.5-hour draft recap video. I also don't want to get in trouble with the NFL. So we'll put those two things together, and we'll take a quick break. We'll be back when the Giants make their third-round pick on the Giants Draft Show, presented by Crestron. We'll talk to you then. Welcome back to the Giants Draft Show, presented by Crestron. John Schmelk, Sean O'Hara, Paul Dottino back with you with the 70th overall pick in the third round. The Giants select cornerback Andrew Phillips out of the University of Kentucky. Phillips, in his college career, played 4 years, started for half of one all of his senior year, 16 total starts. A guy that can play inside and outside. He played about two-thirds of his snaps outside as a senior. Played about a third of them inside, so we can do a little bit of both. Ran a 4.48 40-yard dash at the combine. Tested pretty good in terms of his jumps. Explosiveness was good. His short shuttle and three-cone was good on his pro day. Guys, the Giants needed a cornerback. We talked about this at the end of our show after round number two, and they found the guy that is pretty flexible, can play inside and out, and showed some pretty good cover skills at Kentucky, Sean.
Yeah, you can't have enough corners. And we were talking about that exact position before the Giants selected Tyler Newbin, the safety. And, you know, you could tell that when the run on the corners went at the top of that second round, Giants kind of shifted gears. But now to get a corner in Andrew Phillips, he's a physical guy. He's one of those guys that really likes to win at the line of scrimmage, jam receivers. Likes to use his hands and likes to use his physical ability. But I think he's also shown that he has really good recovery speed, really good recovery quickness. So I think that's an asset for him. A Kentucky guy, Wandale Robinson is a Kentucky guy, right?
Yep.
So we got another Wildcat here. But I think for the Giants, no doubt about it, you've got to, you know, to have some more fresh legs, have some more competition in the corner. Look, in the NFL right now, you need three starting corners. And you mentioned it. He has played in there at the slot, so he has that experience. He played the nickel position against Tennessee this year. Pretty much played every snap in that game from the slot, from that nickel position. So he has that ability, and I think it's a nice pickup for the Giants because, you know, look here, this late in the third round, I think before the draft started, people thought Andrew Phillips might have been gone by now.
Yeah, I had him with I had him as a very top of the third round pick. I had him as my 74th player. He got picked at pick number 70, so about in line. But a lot of people did think, like Dane Brugler, who authors The Beast, one of the best draft guides that's out there, he swore heading into this draft that he was going to be a second round pick, that he thought teams are pretty high on him, Paul.
Well, he did get some rising grades in mock drafts in recent times. I did write, I really liked his quicks at the line, his reads. Very physical player, to your point, Sean, when you talked about one of his hands. Very physical player, does like to hit people, can sometimes improve his technique a bit. But that's because, remember, redshirt junior and only spent 2 years as a starter. Okay, so he does, you know, have to have some more maturity going on, more experience as he grows, as he gets coached up. We talk about these guys all the time. Carl Banks says you don't just add water, okay? There's a reason the guy's coming into the NFL, and that is because he's got to get coached up. Well, this is a guy with Jerome Henderson coaching that secondary is someone who's going to probably really use that polish to his advantage.
Yeah, and look, he's 5'11", or 5'10", 6'8", inches, 190 pounds. So he's not the biggest guy in the world, which is why, you know, some people do see him as more of a slot. But he played outside of Kentucky, did a nice job. He's a physical player, doesn't mind hitting. So he's a guy that I think can fit a lot of those spots. And, you know, two aspects that Shane Bowen said he needs out of his cornerbacks, guys, is that to be willing to tackle, and they don't want to let guys get behind them. And the one thing that he did in that Kentucky scheme was play a lot of off-zone coverage. He did not generally let guys get behind him, which in this system that the Giants are employing is very important.
Yeah, I think the one thing that when you kind of look at Drew Phillips, not one interception in his collegiate career. So that's kind of one of those things that jumps out of you. You think that at some point, hey, somebody tips a ball, you get one of those. But he did have 10 pass breakups. So he's there. He's making plays, just didn't have almost kind of an opposite to Tyler Newbin, who set a record at Minnesota for interceptions in a career. But I think when you look at that physical aspect of it, the toughness of it, I think also he had a great week down at the Senior Bowl. And the reviews from him coming out of there were that, man, this guy was physical. He was feisty. You know, sometimes you see guys go to those bowl games and the practices, you know, they can kind of be overwhelmed. But he had a really good performance, and I think that really helped his draft stock.
He was a multi-sport athlete as a kid. His father was the president of the Chamber of Commerce in Greenville, so it comes from a good family. He won the triple jump in high school at the 2019 state championships. He was a track guy, so he can run. I always like the multiple sport guys, Sean, that aren't specialists. And Newbin was Neighbors. I'll get it there. Neighbors was one of those guys too. He played basketball in high school and he played baseball before he played basketball as well. So I'm always a big fan of these guys that are multiple sport athletes.
Yeah, you love the athleticism and the power too. And it's funny because as the Giants selected him, they started showing this video of him jumping over a car, and
hopefully it wasn't moving.
It was not moving.
Okay, good.
He was running over it, but I don't know, maybe that was a little foreshadowing, like coming to New York, you may have to jump over some cars if you're in the city or if you're walking around in traffic.
Like, how about we avoid that?
It may come in handy.
I think the good news for the Giants, fellas, is that they got some value and they got some need in the right round, because this is just about, for me, as we're into the third round, getting to the middle of the third round, where the corners who can help you right away with some rotational snaps starts to get a little thin. It's pretty sure about it right now that, you know, you're not going to find as you go deeper. If the Giants waited to the fourth round, they weren't going to get a guy of this caliber. Let's put it that way.
You had to take the corner
because it's drying up.
You had to.
Yeah. It's drying up. So I'm glad that they did it. And now as we get into the fourth round, now you can be a little bit more scattershoot if you want. You can go for a tight end. You can go for a running back. You can go for a defensive tackle. Whatever you really like, because at least you got a position that you knew was thin and was going to require fortification.
So Phillips is originally from South Carolina, by the way. Newbin is from Chicago, just FYI. We know Louisiana for Neighbors. His father actually played linebacker for Kentucky from 1986 to 1990. So some runs in the family there.
Yeah.
You might have played against him from 86 to 90, right? No?
No. I think I was still wet in my diaper in 86.
Paul might have covered those games, though.
Yeah,
which is Paul, the funny thing.
Yeah.
No, that was 1886, John.
Exactly. All right, are you guys ready to take some calls
here?
Yeah.
All right, why don't we open up the phones here, 201-939-4513. Of course, you're listening to the Giants Draft Show presented by Crestron. The Giants have made two picks here on day two. Tyler Newbin in the second round at number 47, the safety out of Minnesota, and Andrew Phillips, the cornerback out of Kentucky at pick number 70. All right, let's go to the phones and say what's up to Jim in Connecticut. He's going to lead us off. Hi, Jim.
Hey, John, I'm just going to be like the millionth person to say amazing job with the draft coverage. Just unbelievable. When I can do a mock draft simulator and know from a personal interview what a guy from who was like a cornerback from Tulane is all about, who's going to get drafted in like the seventh round, that's pretty great.
Well, Jim, I got to be honest with you.
Thank you again.
I honestly don't get tired hearing it, so it's fine. I appreciate
that.
Checks in the mail.
Terrific. I mean, that whole thing where you did those where you did that thing at the Shrine Bowl and the Senior Bowl where you kept asking – it was weird. You asked the same question in these guys, but you managed to kind of elicit different things. It was just terrific.
This is great. I love
my two quick points about – I just want to get
– I like it. Yeah. Jim, you know what, Jim? I co-sign with Jim.
You probably want to get Charlie on here to get to talk about how Spencer Rattler has to be the next pick. Here's the thing.
Don't say his name, Jim. Haven't we learned our lesson yet? Don't say his name.
I'm to blame. Okay. I went full Tatino. What was I thinking? Here's the thing. Okay. On the picks. Sorry, Paul. You're a legend. But anyway,
we love Paulie.
On Newbin, terrific for Bowen's scheme, smart. In the right place, low RAF score, who cares? You know, that what safety does. I mean, you know, they always rip a safety. Think of all the good safeties recently, the guy from the Ravens and stuff. But anyway, and I think, you know, Phillips, obviously, Tracy is jumping over cars and stuff, with, you know, for the best. So I like both picks. What I wanted to get real quick is this. John, I'm kind of sad to see Benson go. I wonder if he's who out there in the fourth round for tomorrow would you consider for running back? Do you think on the tight end front would Theo Johnson possibly still be around? Seems interesting, and whether that's a luxury pick. I was going to ask also I was also going to ask about Christian Haynes. Any chance maybe he survives or is still on the board in the fourth round from Connecticut? Also seems like a really interesting player. And last for Paul, is there a skyscraper out there in the later rounds that would be like a six-round pick that might be a project or something that you know you like that you know could make the team and be kind of an interesting tall guy in the receiving corps? That's it.
Wow, a lot of names there, Jim. I'm going to try to hit a lot of those. I'll start with the tight end. Yes, I appreciate the call. Awesome call. Thank you for the praise. We appreciate it. Theo Johnson, yes. In my opinion, there's a chance he's there in round four. Why don't we start there? He was looking for a running back on day three. Paul, was that the other thing he was looking for there?
Yeah. Benson just went. He was bummed about that.
I'll hit those.
Is Corum still available?
Blake, only two running backs have been taken still. So.
Estime,
Ray Davis, Marshawn Lloyd, Will Shipley, Blake Corum, Jalen Wright. There's a lot of guys left there that people like. So a lot of running backs. Sean, he was asking you about
Jalen Wright's a burner.
The speed guy. Yeah, if you want speed, he's the guy. He was asking about Christian Haynes.
Yeah.
What do you think about him as a player? I'm not sure he's going to get to you in round three, especially since the Cowboys just took Cooper Beebe, by the way, which annoys all of us because I had a second-round grade on the guy, and Zach Martin's going to retire after the end. They're just going to plug him right in, and they're going to be fine.
Yeah, Cooper Beebe looks exactly like Zach Martin as a left guard, and that's pretty much where he was. And we were talking about him earlier on in the cafeteria. I really liked Cooper Beebe. I thought he'd be a great pickup for the Giants if they could have snagged him.
He might have been the highest guy left on my board.
Yeah, and he's a stud. I mean, he's thick. He's a mauler. To answer your question about Christian Haynes, I really like Christian Haynes' technique. I like his ability. So I absolutely think that the Giants, if they could find a way to snag him in the fourth round, if he's still available, that would be a great pickup. He's actually – his arms are 2 inches longer than Cooper Beebe's. Like the one knock on Cooper Beebe was he's kind of short arms.
Yeah.
Look, my entire career, people will talk about my short arms. So you can still have an 11-year career with short arms.
If you want to picture Cooper Beebe's body type, imagine a college refrigerator on top of like a pair of like stilts.
Yeah,
and that's kind of what Cooper Beebe is.
He's like a kegerator. Like he's just like compact, like
yes,
just brum, like squished up.
Solid as a rock now, don't get me wrong, but he is like a big square body.
I think Christian Haynes is very balanced. He's got really good feet, really good hands. I think he's going to be a really solid player.
And, Paul, he wanted you to find a late-round skyscraper.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a guy because he was a redshirt last year by injury, Bryce Ford Wheaton. coming back from the torn ACL last year. Had a terrific summer camp at 6'4", West Virginia wide receiver, undrafted rookie free agent. Giants gave him a lot of money as a bonus to bring him in. Looked really good during summer camp. They worked him in special teams. Looked like he was going to be promising. I think he was going to make the final 53 opening day, to be quite frank with you. And then he ripped up his knee. And that was it. He's been rehabbing like a demon. And you know what? You want a dark horse skyscraper? 6'4", and he can run. There's my dark horse. Injury IR red shirt from last year.
You cheated.
I'll put my money on him, but before I pick anybody in the fifth or sixth round here.
Okay, how about this? I'm going to give you a guy with some bloodlines, Paul. I like Brendan Rice.
He's not a skyscraper.
He's 6'2".
The skyscraper's got to be 6'4".
I'm sorry.
Parameters.
Fine. Johnny Wilson out of Florida State. He's 6'7".
Yes, he
take
is.
That.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
I see him as more of a tight end.
I'll take Bryce Ford Wheaton anyway.
Okay, fair enough. 201-939-4513. Sorry, guys. It's 10 o'clock. We're going to have a little bit of fun here. I don't know what to tell you. Let's go to Carmine in Syracuse. Carmine, you're up next. How's it going, man?
Hey, my man. How you guys doing?
We're good, Carmine. How are you?
I'm fine. And I'm just going to tell you. Thank God I had the brain to download the app for Giants, the Giants.com app. I'm beyond loyal to the Giants. I make it my business not to miss the draft every year because we need to change some things. And on top of that, Paul Dottino,
yeah,
I'm from Syracuse, New York. You came to Syracuse to Lemoyne College to commentate on the game one time.
I did.
He did.
Yes,
more than once. I was up there a couple of times this year.
Really? You know, you was around the corner from a pretty good Italian restaurant, and not only that, you was around the corner from this job I work at. I work at a high school way around the corner from there.
Okay.
And stuff. And at the end of the day, I was shocked to see you on TV. I was like, wow, okay.
Well, you know, I can't live on football alone. What happens after the Super Bowl's over? I need to do college basketball for a few months.
Look, you don't strike me as a guy that want to sit on the couch and flick his
No. Butt. No.
I don't think he owns a couch.
Now Carmine, here's the thing. Paul's going to be back. You need to inform about this Italian restaurant so we can eat some Italian before he drives home from these basketball games.
Yeah, that's right. Is it called Carmine's?
No. That's not the name of the restaurant. That's just what my friends call me, Carmine. But the name of the restaurant that you were near was called Delmonico's.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. The next time you come up in basketball season, because I watch the Yes Network, I like the Nets, Brooklyn Nets.
Okay.
If I know you're coming up here to commentate, I'll introduce myself to you.
Very cool.
And if you want to eat whatever, me and your people, whatever, I'll direct you to where the restaurant is. We can all sit down and eat and just talk sports. I don't care.
Carmine, that's awesome.
Thank you.
What's your point on the Giants tonight, Carmine?
Okay. At the end of the day, I'm calling because I'm kind of concerned about the Giants and stuff. And my thing is this. Is it just me or are the Giants afraid of actual speed from in the draft? What I mean by that is, man, last night, Xavier Worthy got picked, man. Xavier Worthy should have been picked by us when we had, plus when we're at number 6. I don't think we should have gave it to Kansas City because right now, Andy Reid is a madman running to the bank right now.
Have you seen the lead Neighbors play, Carmine? He's pretty fast.
I would take Neighbors all day long.
He's fast.
Give me Neighbors.
You know what? I don't hate the pick. I'm not saying that. He is strong. He is tall. I'm gonna give him that. I've seen his clips. I see LSU play, and I thought that deep down inside we get Jaden Daniels, but this ain't the year for that. But the wide receiver we do need, and I'm not saying I'm unhappy with it, but I would have loved it even more if we'd have got Jalen Xavier Worthy, because for one reason only, we need to get revenge on the whole NFC East, man. Like from the years of Deshaun Jackson. And now we got what's that boy name from number 88 at Dallas?
CeeDee Lamb.
And it just breaks my heart, ball. Every time I turn around, we always getting burnt, man. And then not only that, to keep the conversation going, even on the defensive side and stuff, I like some of the D-backs we've had, but we need faster D-backs, man. And at the end of the day, I love the two Super Bowl rings we got with what's name, but somewhere down the line, man, we need beyond change, man. We just need faster people. That's all I'm saying. And I'm not saying I'm not dissing the Giants. I love the Giants. I love them since I saw Lawrence Taylor play. But at the end of the day, I'm at a point in life now that we just need to be up there on a more speedier level. You know what I mean? Because I want us to roast the competition.
All right, Carmine. Good stuff, man. I appreciate your fandom, and I appreciate the call, man. Good stuff.
Thank you.
But trust me, Malik Nabers will be just fine against the Eagles, Cowboys, and Commanders.
Yeah, there's no way anybody in the NFL is taking Worthy over Nabers.
No.
Like, Worthy, yes, he ran an unbelievable time at the 40, but the first thing I heard from multiple sources down in the comment, they were like, that's awesome, he can run, but we don't know if he can catch.
And that's kind of important if you're a receiver.
Kind of a big part of the job description. Nabers, we know what he could do. We know the explosive ability he has. So, yeah, I'll take Nabers all day long.
Yeah, totally agree. 201-939-45. I'd be careful, Paul. First of all, he said, my friends call me Carmine. So it's not even his real name.
Right.
So I don't know what's going to happen in that restaurant with you and him, but I'd be careful.
Paul's
tell somebody where you're going to be before you go over there.
He's already got Delmonico's logged into his phone.
He's ready to go. Let's go to Daniel in Australia. Daniel, you're up next. How you doing, man?
How you doing, guys, man? First of all, awesome to come on here. Huge fan, New York Giants fan. New Yorker living in Australia.
But what time is it right now over there, dude? What time is it over there?
Yeah, it is Friday, 12:10 midday currently right now. Sorry, Saturday.
Wow. Saturday. Okay.
Saturday.
Yes. So
didn't I see Jordan Mailata do a pick from Australia?
So you guys are, what, like 14 hours ahead of us? Is that what I'm doing? Wow. All right, wow. Daniel, what do you got? Yeah. What do you got for us?
Well, first of all, I think all the Giants picks have been phenomenal so far. I just want to get your thoughts on who potentially could be next, and do we think a running back could potentially be going to us in the fourth round? Because I would love another running back on this roster. I know we have Devin Singletary. I know Jalen Wright is available, who I love, out of Tennessee. Maybe Isaac Horrendo, who really surprised us at the NFL Combine. Just any of your thoughts here. At the running back position. But yes, all the three picks, Nabers, Newbin, and Phillips here have been phenomenal. I think we addressed everything that we needed. I'm glad we didn't get a quarterback. And once again, huge, huge fan of you guys. Keep grinding out.
Hey, Daniel, appreciate you joining us all the way from that might be our first Australia call. I think we've
I'll see.
We have hit another continent.
Potentially, yeah. Potentially.
All right. I already kind of gave my spiel a little bit. Sean, what are your thoughts on the running backs here? The guys that you might like that are still left on the board that could be available in round four?
Yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, there's only two running backs that have gone in the draft so far. So, Blake Corum from Michigan, I mean, he's a stud. I mean, that's a guy that I don't think you can give him enough carries. He can, as he showed at Michigan. Jalen Wright, he kind of mentioned him in passing, and we talked about him briefly. He's a burner, 4.38 40 guy. Caught a ton of balls out of the backfield. He's an explosive, explosive player. So I think that could be somebody that they could end up targeting because, you know, when you look at the backfield right now with Singletary and, you know, it's going to be a running back by committee throughout. But
yeah,
to have a guy like that, and usually young running backs, when they come in, you kind of sprinkle them in packages anyways. But I don't know. Jalen Wright, he kind of reminds me maybe he could be the fit that the Detroit Lions had with their 1-2 punch last year. And that right there, you get a weapon like that out of the backfield, that could be huge. So those are a couple running backs that really kind of jump off at me. I wouldn't be shocked if the Giants picked a running back fourth or fifth round.
Paul, you talked about Estime. We mentioned Allen earlier, too.
Lloyd, too.
I'm going to throw Ray Davis out there out of Kentucky. I think he's a really good all-around back that can do a little bit of everything. He's a little bit older. Wasn't an elite tester, but I think he's a good player. You want a receiver out of the backfield, Will Shipley out of Clemson, I think is a really good shifty receiver. That's a good catcher. And then we haven't mentioned Blake Corum a ton, but if you want someone that's interchangeable with Devin Singletary, those two guys actually profile very similar. Mm-hmm. They don't have great top speed. They're both shorter. They're both elusive. So those are some of the other running backs that are out there too. 201-939-4513. Steve's in Atlanta. He's up next. Hi, Steve.
Hey, John. I'm very pleased with what we're doing. The only one thing I want to start first, Carmine needs to understand the Giants. Since since Joe Shane has been here, speed has been what we have been getting. Nothing but speed on here. So he needs to look at the players a little bit better. Anyhow, I like where we are, and I really liked actually our first and second pick. I was not as thrilled right now on the cornerback. I was actually thinking TJ Tampa might have been a little bit higher than Phillips, especially because we were looking more for an outside cornerback as opposed to a slot.
Yeah, I think Tampa would have fit Wink's old scheme because he's long.
Much
and
better.
He's a big outside corner.
Much
better. We just don't have a great feel for what Shane Bowen's looking for at the position yet.
Right.
And based on what he did in Tennessee, size was never a big priority for him there.
It was
so
not.
I think that's probably why he's still out there on the board.
Yeah. From running backs, I'm agreeing with Wright. I really would like to see Wright, but there looks like there between that and Lloyd, Shipley is good, but he's been. Corum and Shipley both have a lot of tread worn on the tires.
They
right
do.
Now.
Yes, they do. You're right.
God knows Harbaugh buried Corum into the ground for sure.
But the one guy I also like is Kate Stover. I really think that he's actually
tight
a
end.
Sleeper on the tight end.
Yep. We had their radio analyst on our BBKL program that day when we were talking about him, and he was extremely high on him.
So that's in some ways I think that actually the running backs are gonna, I think we could still get one in the fifth round, and I'd actually like to see the tight end in the fourth round.
I could see that, you know, and I still think, by the way, if you want to double up on corner here at some point, I have no problem with that either. You want to pick a defensive tackle like Brandon Doors and appreciate the call. I think that's another guy you could look at. He's still on the board. Dwayne Carter from Duke still on the board. Mekhi Wingo, LSU still on the board. So there are some spots at positions of need that I think can still come in and compete for playing time right away in one way, shape, or form. Sean, where do you hit a lot of these positions? Where do you think the biggest need is right now based on what's left and where the Giants have it at their positions currently?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can't have too many corners, so I think that's always a good resource to tap into. You know, running back would make sense. Jalen Wright, we mentioned him. You know, he went to Tennessee. He was actually Jalen Hyatt's roommate in college, so there's some familiarity there.
I didn't know that. That
could be a nice addition to the offense as far as exposure. But
do they only put the fast guys in the same rooms together? Is that how that works?
Yeah, it's apparently. speed travels together. I really feel like the Giants, you know, could draft a guard. And I think, look, they brought in John Runyon. You know, I think it's yet to be determined where Evan Neal and Jermaine Illuminor, how all that fixes itself out and works itself out. But I think the Giants, you need healthy guys. You need another guard. And I think that for them, if they drafted a guard, it immediately just makes that room younger, more competitive. And based off what happened last year, like, we need healthy bodies, we need good young legs. So I think the need, as much as we address the offensive line through free agency, I could see them jumping on a guard.
Paul?
We pretty much, I think, have gone over all the different thin spots that the Giants have to still look at.
What would you put in number one, though?
I would like to get a big back. That's just where I stand right now. I really would like to add a big back to the room. Again, here's the problem for me. I see a running back by committee, and Singletary to me is not a guy who's going to touch the ball more than 15 times a game. And so as good as he has been over the course of his five NFL seasons and been to the playoffs every year, 4 years with Buffalo and once with Houston, he's been on winning teams and been productive. But again, in a situation where you really need to pound it out, I'm worried about trying to put him into that situation while he's part of the rotation. So I need a workhorse, a big burly guy who may only touch the ball 8 times a game, but I want him to be able to pound it.
Singletary was very effective, but, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, he's never had a 1,000-yard season.
No.
So he's not, you know, and
he's not a workhorse. He's
part
not
of
that
that's
guy.
Because he was up in Buffalo. They did the running back by committee, and, you know, they were more of a pass first offense.
Brian Dable just didn't run it a whole lot.
Right. It's not really been, you know, it's not because anything Devin Singletary did. But right. I will say this: when he went down to Houston, like he started the season, he was the backup running back, and then, you know, He had one of his best and most productive years. The thing about Singletary, though, is every time you turn on the film, like, he's just making guys miss. He's running through tackles. Like, he's a good player. But I'm with you, Paul. I think that I could see the Giants loading up that backfield, you know, with another young stud.
Somebody with a hammer, yeah. You know? That's why I keep going back to Estime, because he's got a hammer.
The one thing the Giants have struggled with is punching the ball in, whether it's short yardage, third and one, down on the goal line, second and one, third and one. How many times did we get down to the goal line over the last couple of years and we just can't muscle it in, to your point, even with Saquon?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, a lot of that is up front. They've got to do better, you know, from a performance standpoint of blocking. But, yeah, you need that bully ball.
All right, we have three more calls on the line. We'll get to all three of you guys, and we're going to have to run. We appreciate you guys. You've done a fantastic job calling into the show earlier today, this show, the show yesterday. Remember, too, we're going to be on again tomorrow starting at noon. Dottino and I taking your calls through the Giants pick in the fourth round and then beyond. So thanks for being with us on the Draft Show presented by Crestron. Let's wrap things up. We got three more calls. Ed in North Carolina is first of three, and then Stu, then Bert. Ed, how's it going?
It's going good, man. Been a fan of the show for years and years. It's the first time I've ever been off work where I could call in. I usually just listen to replays. So thank you so much for doing the live show.
Oh, thanks for calling in, Ed. We appreciate you listening.
So I had two, like, really quick questions, and then I wanted to ask about the O-line. But I went into a different room the other day, and I thought I heard Paul Dott say something about Azeez Ojulari. Is he healthy? Is there something wrong with him?
Right now he's healthy. Yeah. He has not been very healthy the last 2 years, but he does not have a pre-existing injury. I believe he actually finished the season
he did.
Healthy, correct?
Yes. What you probably heard us was talking about the depth at the edge spot, and the question was, with Thibodeau and Burns, you got your two primary edge guys, and you'd love to have Ojulari in there, you know, to help relieve those guys, give them some time off. But Ojulari's got to prove in this, really, it's a show-me season for him. Because he hasn't been able to stay on the field, and his production and efficiency this past season actually decreased. You know, he's got to pick it up.
Right. I agree. My other question was, don't we still have three quarterbacks on the roster? Because I keep hearing from friends of mine that the kid from Tulane would be a good fit for us. But don't we have Daniel Jones, DeVito, and was it Drew Lock now?
Yes, sir. That's correct. That's why when Joe Shane was asked last week whether or not he'd be comfortable going into the year with these three quarterbacks, he said yes.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. So finally, I assume we're going to do something to address a little bit of depth at O-line. I was wondering what you guys thought we needed.
Good question, Ed. Great call. Appreciate it. You know, it's a good debate. You have Neal and Illuminor as your tackles. You have a lot of numbers at guard. I guess if you really wanted, pardon me, you probably could use one more guy at tackle more than you can use one more guy at guard, just based on pure numbers. But tackle is generally the more valuable position. What do you think about that, Sean?
I think if you can get a guy that maybe played tackle in college and you could have him kind of morph. Look, a lot of teams dress seven offensive linemen on game day. So basically your sixth and seventh guy has to be able to play guard
right.
And tackle.
And Matt Goncalves, who just got drafted, was one of those guys that played both out of Pittsburgh.
He was.
You know, Marcus McKeithen, tore his knee up. I think he was going to be a guy in the mix. So, you know, him and Josh Azudu both battled injuries last year.
And he's played both too.
Yeah, Azudu was kind of that swing guy. He could swing out the tackle where he played at North Carolina in college, and then I think he's more of a guard. But I think when you kind of look at, you know, you want to create depth at all those positions, but you also want to create competition. You want guys that are pushing each other. So that's why I think Jermaine Illuminor was such a big pickup for the Giants because, look, he started for the Raiders last year. He started every single game. He started for the Patriots as well. He is going to push Evan Neal. And look, if Evan Neal improves and he can win that starting job, then we're going to get a better version, the best version of Evan Neal we've seen. But if not, Jermaine Illuminor, he's going to make a push to be the starter. So that could either move Evan Neal inside or, you know, he could be the swing tackle. I think from a guard standpoint, we mentioned Christian Haynes. He's available. He's predominantly a right guard. That's all he played in college. So for him, he would have to move over to left guard if Runyon's going to be at right guard, or you move Runyon over to left. But I think the other guy that's kind of out there that would be a little bit of a sleeper pick could be Christian Mahogany from Boston College. He's a Jersey guy. He's from Elmwood Park. I think he went to Paramus Catholic. He's one of those guys that I could see the Giants picking up later on, kind of like what they did with Josh Ezeudu.
He's
one
kind of a road grader type, very physical.
Yeah, he's very physical. He's he's got a unique kind of little stance, little technique.
He's exactly what you think a Boston College guard would
be. Yeah, yeah, exactly. He's got really good technique. He's got a good anchor, good base. So those are guys that I think the Giants could kind of, you know, go after as we get into the fifth and sixth rounds.
How about you, Paul?
In terms of the offensive guards that you just talked about, we really haven't talked about how Stinney comes into this equation. He did start a year in Tampa Bay, and now he's with the Giants, one of those medium-priced to lower-priced free agents that they signed. Is he capable of challenging for a starting guard job, or do you think he's just depth?
No, I think he's going to make a push. I mean, that's part of the reason why he probably came here and signed here, was there's an opportunity for me to be a starter. You know, look, that left guard spot is, you know, pretty much up for grabs. So you like a guy that's got some veteran experience with that. I think Stinney also, he might have played center too, so he could do that in a pinch as well.
All right, well, we got Sean's final thoughts. You're being summoned. I believe you're going to have Andrew Phillips here in a second, Sean.
Yeah.
So we'll be wrapped by the time you're done. Excellent job. This was fun, brother.
All right. All right. Good stuff. I'm looking forward to your book next year, all right? The Schmelke?
No one wants that.
I think you put no in so that. Much time and so much work into all this stuff. And you know what? Like, it's all here. Like, let's get it out there. Let's sell it. The Schmelke. I think people want it. Like, I would love to hear from the viewers. We need people to – we need the feedback Schmelke. On this.
I like it.
The Schmelke Report.
Instead of the Beast, the Schmelke?
Schmelke the
That's
Beast.
That's what you go for?
Yeah.
Thank you, Sean.
We'll work on it.
We'll work all on right. that.
Be let's well. Go.
I have to get the people working on the marketing campaign upstairs for that. Good stuff, Sean. Have fun talking to Andrew Phillips. Always a pleasure.
I'll make sure we proofread it.
Yeah, yeah, please. I'll definitely need some of that. All right, let's go to Stu in New Jersey. Stu, you're our final caller of the show today. Stu, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you guys doing?
Hello. What's up, Stu? Man, you are spry for the long day that we've gone through.
yeah, well... Listen, I got a question.
Christian Haynes just went, by the way, to Seattle, the UConn guard, at pick number 81.
And by the way, I'll throw out Dominic Pooney, too, by the way, as another kind of guard-tackle hybrid that I like. So, anyway.
Legit prospect.
Stu, go ahead.
Listen, I want to know why is Joe Milton being drafted so low? To me, he seems
raw.
Like the premier prospect.
Oh, he's raw as the celery on the supermarket shelf. He does not. I mean, he needs a lot of work, but he's got the best pure arm in the draft.
Well, I would say this: right. He has the most powerful arm.
Yeah,
but he doesn't have like that. Throw a bunch of. He doesn't throw a touch. Like he doesn't have like. But he doesn't
that's
have
not
a
what
versatile arm. He has a power arm.
Strongest arm.
Strongest. That's a good way to put it. Yes.
That you know, but experience is lacking. There's a lot about the game plan that he was a system guy at Tennessee. There's a lot he needs work on. If you want to take Milton, you take him late in the third day and you plan to sit him for 2 years. He is truly a developmental with a capital D. But I think that his size, okay, and his quality guy, all right, from everything I've heard from the people in Tennessee, quality guy, good guy in the locker room, again, size, physicality, the arm strength. You're going to have to do a lot of work on him, though. So he sits for 2 years.
Paul, you don't think he deserves to be in that quarterback room?
I just said he could be a developmental guy for a lot of teams if they're willing to wait. He's not ready right now. He's not ready right now.
I just think with Daboll – and his track record with bringing raw talent, I just think Daboll can really work him out.
Yeah, but it's going to take a lot of time.
A lot.
Okay.
No, just remember, he couldn't even keep a starting job before he showed up at Tennessee.
I told you, he's as raw as a piece of celery. He's really, really raw.
he just really impressed me.
I get it. You love the arm strength. You love the physique. He's got the frame, the size. He's got
–
There's stuff that makes him attractive.
No, he checks every box, and you're right. And Stu, in terms of traits, he checks every box you would want. And I get where you're coming from. My suggestion would be find a couple of Tennessee games on YouTube and watch them.
Yeah.
And then
you'll see.
And then call us back, and I'm curious to see if your opinion has changed at all.
Well, I will do that. I will do that, John.
I'll give you a guy if you want. The Florida State kid, Leary. All right. If you really want to dig deep into the third day.
Wait, Florida State's Jordan Travis.
Travis, I'm sorry.
Yes. Devin Leary.
Leary is the other
former
kid.
Former NC State and
correct.
He went to Kentucky, right?
Yes, Kentucky.
So to make sure I had the right guy.
Absolutely.
You're talking about.
Absolutely. Look,
it's
folks,
late.
I am so exhausted, it's not even funny. And we got to do another show tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go back to Travis. Broken leg, okay? Injured. You're going to have to deal with that. He certainly needs some work, but there's no question that he has more polish, more experience, more savvy. He's got more touch, had some production at a very high level. You want to take a flyer on somebody there? He's more further developed.
And Spencer Rattler's still on the board, too. With
well, you know how I feel about Rattler. Right. I think he's the best guy of the second group.
Oh, wow. How about the Rams? Who had?
Oh, you like him, huh? Okay.
Yeah, yeah, look, and Rattler has some traits. And appreciate the call, Bert. Great stuff. Stu, sorry. Bert was the guy that hung up, right, if I'm not mistaken. Rams just took Blake Corum, which
is
interesting. Because he's kind of a physical clone to Kyren Williams.
Yeah.
Who had a really good year for them last year. So I guess that's now going to be a timeshare backfield. So all the Kyren Williams fantasy football owners are very unhappy right now. Who thought that that's you, Dom? You have Kyren Williams? Well, if you have a keeper league, you're in a lot of trouble. Sorry, Dom. This is not a good moment for you, sir. I feel for you. Just real quick, folks, just to update. We've went through all the guys that we might, and we'll give a couple names before we say goodbye. But since the Giants picks, just to keep everyone updated, then we got to roll here. You had Isaiah Adams to Arizona, Trevin Wallace, the linebackers of the Panthers, the Cowboys took Cooper Beebe, Breland Trice, the pass rusher to the Falcons, the Bears took Kyren Amagaji from Yale, the offensive tackle. I still don't have that one right. Jonah Ellis, the defensive end from Utah, went to Denver. Delmar Glaze, Maryland, offensive lineman to the Raiders. Houston took safety Kalen Bullock, the great ball hawk. Macklin Colvis, the oft-injured offensive lineman from Pittsburgh, went to Indy. Jermaine Burton, the super talented but troubled wide receiver, went to Cincinnati. Boy, him and Joe Burrow, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Haynes went to Seattle, and then Tip Ryman went to Arizona. Now Blake Corum just went to the Rams. So, Paul, we already kind of talked a lot of some of the names here. You mentioned Estime. Christian Haynes got picked, so he's off the board. I'll throw out Makai Wingo and Brandon Dorlos as defensive tackles. Dwayne Carter, too. If you want a bigger corner, since you took a smaller guy in Phillips, TJ Tampa, Cam Hart, Kyrie Jackson, if you want to go there. Guards, Dominic Pooney, Mason McCormick, Christian Mahogany. Johnny Wilson is a hybrid tight end, otherwise Cade Stover. Those are the kind of the names.
Yeah, Johnson, McClatchin.
McLaughlin.
McLaughlin. Yes. Three tight ends out there who I think would all be, you know, solid picks at you know, in the later stages here.
Yep. So that's where we are, folks. Just want to thank you again. Don't forget our other podcast. This episode of the Giants Draft Show presented by Creshton will be showing up on the Giants Huddle podcast feed. Subscribe to that. Subscribe to Big Blue Kickoff Live. We'll have another draft show live tomorrow at noon when the fourth round in day three begins right here on the Giants app, YouTube channel, Giants.com, wherever you stream Giants stuff, Giants TV, streaming app, all that good stuff. Make sure you go check that out tomorrow at noon. Paul and I will be live once again as we take you from the Giants fourth round pick. We're going to try to get to the fifth round pick. We'll see if we make it that long.
We might be sleeping, but we'll be alive.
Best. Oh, it's noon. You'll have plenty of time to sleep. You'll be fine. I don't want to hear any complaints out of you. And again, Giants Huddle podcast draft season. Go subscribe to those. Tony Pauline and I will have a full draft review when the draft is over on Saturday on draft season. Make sure you check that out. And the Steelers just took Roman Wilson, who will fit very nicely into that wide receiver core. Troy Franklin's still on the board, by the way.
So is Walker from North Carolina.
Both those guys, really big upset. But again, it's such a deep wide receiver draft. There's only
We
knew one or two guys were going to drop that shouldn't.
We knew
it. And they're still on the board. So anyway, thanks for being with us on the draft show presented by Crestron. For Paul Dottino and Sean O'Hara, I'm John Schmelk. Again, great job, guys. You carry us on the phones on these shows. It's late. You tune in. All three lines are still buzzing. I'm sorry I ran out of time, but we really do appreciate you listening, and I hope you've enjoyed the draft content the last couple of days, and we'll see you on Saturday at noon for another episode of the Giants Draft Show presented by Crestron. Well, until then.